Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for joining us. If you just tuned in, if you've been hanging around already, we're glad you're here. Wherever you are, however you're listening, whenever you're listening, we don't care about any of that. We're just glad you're here. And I'm glad Steve Chandler's here, too, because Steve's an old friend of ours, and you know him as one of the high-energy guys who joins us on the show from time to time, as the author of a number of books that he's written, some of my favorites in the world, including 17 Lies That Are Holding You Back and The Truth That Will Set You Free. That's just one of the many books he's written. These books have been published in dozens of languages, sold something under 10 million copies worldwide. His new book is called 10 Commitments to Your Success, which is what we're going to talk about today. Steve Chandler, welcome back.
Thank you, Jim. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you back. I can see how it would be good for you to be back.
Yeah, it is good to be back. Your show is the best show on the air. I've been on many shows, and recently for promoting the new book, I've been on about 50 shows.
Wow.
And boy, what losers these guys are compared to you.
Well, you know, I appreciate you saying that, and the thing is, well, you know what? I've got some comments about that, but out of professional respect for the other guys, I'm not going to say them. But anyway, but I appreciate you saying that very much, and I know you're the kind of guy that wouldn't say it if you didn't think it was true.
Well, that's right.
Because you would never actually throw me a bone, would you?
No. Well, about half the time, what I say can't be counted on. About half the time. I got it up to half. Because in my previous life, you couldn't count on anything I said to anybody.
in your former life, right? Many of you also will know him as the author of the outstanding book that just keeps on selling, 100 Ways to Motivate Yourself, and also 100 Ways to Motivate Others. Steve, why did you feel like you needed to talk about making commitments to our success?
Well, here's one of the things that I found to be missing in my clients and even in myself in certain areas was when people weren't performing to the level that they really wanted to, what they were doing was they were doing a lot of wishing, they were doing a lot of hoping, they were doing a lot of projecting of their problems on outside forces, but there was no commitment. And I found that that was the missing element, so that when I worked with my clients so they really understood what commitment was versus wishing, hoping, interested in succeeding, then all of a sudden it got clear for them, and then they could make a choice.
Mm-hmm. Well, that you're reminding me of the story about the difference between commitment and involvement. You know that one, right? About the bacon and the eggs.
No, but I'm afraid I'm about to hear it.
Well, you know about the bacon and the egg story. About the when you look at your breakfast, you look at your the bacon and the eggs on your plate. You realize that the chicken was involved, but the pig was committed.
That's very good.
And so that's what you've got. That's what you're talking about. Are you involved in your success, or are you committed to your success?
That's right. And there are a lot of things in life we really aren't committed to. We do make commitments. Like, for example, most people always make the flights they schedule. Let's say they schedule a flight to Chicago, and then they talk about that flight as if it's already done. They say, I'll be in Chicago, or I'll be in the air. And they speak about the flight as if it's already been accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever they have things like that in life, you can tell by their speaking whether they're committed.
Hmm. So whenever we're talking about what we're going to do, hearing how we refer to it as if, and if we say, if I can make this happen, that's one thing. But if we say, when I make this happen, is that what you're talking about?
That's right. That's right. And there's always a deadline in it. And like, for example, if you were to speak that you'll have twice as many stations in 5 years as you have right now.
Right.
You don't have to commit to that. We can choose our commitments, but if you spoke it as if it had already happened, I would know it was a commitment rather than a wish.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm with you, and I like hearing people have those kinds of use that kind of an attitude when they speak about what they're doing. It's you can And the thing is we can hear it in other people, but we can't always hear it in ourselves, can we?
Exactly. You got it. You nailed it right there. That's the tricky part.
I read your book, Steve. So, you know, I know you teach me these things.
Well, you really did nail it, because we can see it in others, and we see it in our children. Whether someone's committed to doing a good job at school or not, or somebody's committed to, one of our kids is committed to getting a job, or just hoping to get a job. And we can see it in other people, but in ourselves, it's elusive until we make it conscious.
Well, one of the reasons is because when we think of ourselves, I think we assume that perfection has already been achieved.
Well, that's one thing. And then the flip side of that happens. We think we've got all these flaws and limitations
that prevent us from actually doing what we think we can do.
That's right.
One of the things you talk about in your book, which I really am glad you're doing, because my audience knows I like to talk about this, is the spirit, commitment to spirit. We're going to talk about that with Steve Chandler right after these messages. He's the author of the new book, 10 Commitments to Your Success.
And we are airplanes today.
Happy anniversary, baby, got you on my mind. Happy anniversary, baby, got you on my mind.
We're back. It's 17 till, and this is my and Steve Chandler's 6th anniversary together on the air. Steve, did you know that? I bet you didn't know that, did you?
I did know that, because you mentioned it the last time I was on the show.
It's our anniversary, and we're starting our 7th year together.
Yeah.
How about that? So
now that's one of those facts that might be more interesting to you than it is to your listeners. You might want to make a note of that.
No, they love this.
They do?
Yeah, it's one of the charming things that we do every so often in the show. They love this part
of the
show.
You're like the boy in the bubble. You have your own world. That's why people tune into your show.
That's right. They can't wait to see what I'm going to come up with next. Steve, in your new book, you talk about the spirit. You talk about commitment.
Yes.
Number one is the spirit. And I really appreciate you doing that, because as you know, and as my audience knows, I am trying to get small business owners to focus more on this incredible energy that we all have inside of us. It's the energy that drives our protoplasm around, and it's our spirit. And we're not talking theologically here. We're talking about the thing that makes me different from you. And it's something that I think that we need to recognize, and we need to understand that it is there, and we need to nourish it and maintain it and help it to flourish. And that's what you talk about in your book.
Yes, I agree with that 100%. It took me many, many years to really realize and grasp the reality of that, and how hard it is physically, mentally, and emotionally to live without it, and how overwhelmed and swamped and worn out people get trying to run their businesses with no spirit in it.
Well, and you meet them, don't you? I mean, you see them, and
sure.
I feel sorry for them. And if we aren't aware of our spirit, how do we recognize it? How do we see it?
Well, there are so many ways to reconnect to spirit, and there's so many great ways, and I don't want to rule out anybody's theological contacts or their religion or anything. That's perfectly wonderful. That's one of the ways. If you're already a member of a faith, that's the thing is to use it, let it work for you instead of just have it be an obligation. And then there's so many other ways. There are wonderful books about it, and I refer to some of them in my book so people can get a start on it.
Well, the reason I said a minute ago that I wasn't talking theologically, obviously I do believe in that, but the thing is, I some people get, you know, that's a little bit of a hang-up for them, and all I wanted to point out is that irrespective of theology, you have a spirit inside of you, whether you connect to a higher power or not. You know, what do you think, as I say, what do you think drives your protoplasm around? And for small businesses, especially for small business owners, especially, I don't know how you can be successful and thrive in this competitive environment if you aren't capable of calling on and understanding your own inner strengths.
I agree with that 100%. And you're right about identifying small business as really uniquely needy of that, because in a real large corporation, you can get away with almost substituting the corporation for spirit. I mean, it's a wasted life if you do, but you can do it. In a small business, it's you against the world, and you better have spirit on your side, or else it's just going to be a nightmare.
Absolutely. One of the questions you ask in your book is, you ask this question, can you be glad to be unhappy? What do you mean by that?
Well, you can be glad to be unhappy if you have stepped back from your unhappiness and seen the cause of it. If I see that my thought pattern, that my interpretation of something that happened is making me unhappy, not what happened, then I'm glad to see that. I say, okay, isn't that interesting? I see the connection between how I have interpreted something and why, and my unhappiness. Unhappiness comes from interpretation. It doesn't come from things happening.
Very interesting.
If I lose a sale, if I really wanted a big sale, I can interpret that as really bad news and it's really tragic and all that, but I can also interpret that as just nothing. It's just one of two possible answers, yes or no. I got a no. That's
right.
Fine. Time to move on.
Right. Sometimes there's no big news there. It just didn't happen, right?
Right, and it doesn't mean anything that it didn't happen. And the more I try to make it mean something about me or about the customer or about the world or about the market or the economy, the more trouble I get into. Time
right.
to move on.
Right, absolutely. What about the mind? You talk about commitment to the mind.
The most important thing about the mind is to know that it's there for us to use. What happens is people are used by their minds. They get over-entangled in their own thoughts. They think they have to think everything through and probe the meaning of every feeling they have during the day. And they get totally trapped. And what I teach in the book or try to point out is the mind is a tool. It's to be used by you, not to use you, not to trap you, but you're to use it.
Well, you talk about you asked the question about where does loneliness come from. Do you think we get lonely through our own thinking?
Absolutely, especially in small business. You feel like nobody understands, and you go home, and even your family doesn't understand what you're up against and what the struggle is, and you get a very lonely feeling.
It's one of the myths that we tell ourselves.
Exactly right.
Go ahead.
The best way out of that is to help other people, is to start helping my customers more than I normally do, to help my employees more than I normally do, and then there is no loneliness. It's, you only connect.
One of the myths that we tell ourselves, folks, is that we're the only people who have this problem. You know, obviously we're not smart enough, or we wouldn't be having these problems. These are all myths that you tell yourself. It's toxic talk, and you got to stop doing it. And I think if you read this chapter in Steve's book, you'll quit that. Tintill, right back with Steve Chandler. He's the author of the new book, 10 Commitments to Your Success.
It'll take time, I know it.
We're back at 7 till. That's Mr. Mark Knopfler on pretty hot guitar there. The Amazing Rhythm, Dire Straits, I should say. I started to say Amazing Rhythm Aces, but that's Dire Straits. That's a great, great band and a great song, too. Steve Chandler's the guy who knows a little bit about music, don't you, Steve?
Well, I try to, but you know that Mark Knopfler, he's amazing on guitar. And he uses the old-fashioned blues finger picks on his fingers other than his thumb to play electric guitar, which was an innovation.
Well, yeah, and he kind of got that from Chet Atkins, you know, who was one of the first guys to really do that.
Oh, Chet Atkins was just amazing. He's, you know, as famous as he was still underrated.
There's no question about it. And one of my goals in life was to play guitar with him, and I never got to do that because he's gone onto that great stage in the sky. But I still, I actually have an album that he and Knopfler did together.
Yeah, I have that album.
Yeah, it's a good one. Hey, Steve,
it is a very good one.
Let's talk some more about the commitment to our success, which is the title of your book, 10 Commitments to Your Success. But before we do, tell us where we can find your book.
Well, it's on Amazon right now. That's the fastest and least expensive way to acquire the book. So that's what I tell people. Go on Amazon, get 10 commitments.
Ten Commitments to Your Success, and it's by Steve Chandler. And if you're in any of the bookstores, or if you're on Amazon, noodle around and on some of the other books that Steve has written, and you won't go wrong with any of them. Talk to us about commitment to action.
Well, most people confuse that one. That's why I really wanted to put that commitment in there. Most people think it's about courage. Like, I'm not bold enough. I don't have the courage to really approach that customer and ask for a big order. And it isn't courage that's missing. It's just the action itself. And we think we have to have this quality called courage to do something. And the truth is we absolutely don't. And it only slows us down to even think about it. What we need to commit to is the action. I'm going to take that action at 7 a.m. tomorrow. I'm picking up the phone and taking that action. And so the commitment only needs to be the action. What happens is enough actions, and you find you do have that feeling called courage because it gets easier and easier for you.
Isn't it amazing how much more courage you get once you build a little confidence?
Oh, yeah, it's truly amazing, and children know this. See, children don't get hung up about this. Children just jump off the high board and climb up on a bike after they fall down, and then as they get older, as we get older, we talk ourselves into thinking we're afraid of stuff.
Don't you think that the inability to think incrementally is what prevents us from taking action? You know what I mean?
What do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean is if I need to climb this mountain, you know, as I look at the mountain, that's a pretty intimidating task. But if I realize that, you know, that it's not going to happen until I take one step and get that one behind me, I just think that the biggest thing that creates inaction is the inability to think and to break things down incrementally.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Take one little step at a time, break it down, take the small, and pretty soon you're at the top of the mountain.
Well, and so don't think that your goal is to climb the mountain. Your goal is to get to the first first station or whatever they call
it. Well, that's what Jack Nicklaus said. He said, my game became great when I learned that it's not about winning the tournament. It's about hitting this ball right here in front of me.
Right. Yeah, that's a real good point. I'd not heard him say that before. What about a commitment to wealth? We got about a minute left.
It's very important that we actually commit to wealth, that it not be some unseen force or something we're scared of or greedy about, get all emotional about. It's got to be very calculated, unemotional, systematic, and strategic. Like the great chess master Kasparov, who said, think seven moves ahead.
Mm-hmm. Well, how do we accumulate wealth? How does the commitment to wealth help us accumulate wealth?
The key thing to wealth is to make a difference, to keep making a difference. How can I make a bigger difference in this customer's life? How can I make more differences than I'm making right now? What would make a difference? The difference makers in this economy are the ones who accumulate wealth.
So you're saying one of the keys to wealth is to help other people with their success, basically.
Yeah, like good old Zig Ziglar used to say, you can get anything you want in life if you help enough other people get what they want.
Right, that's a good way to say it. Well, I agree with you. And one of my favorite management thoughts is to don't try to be successful yourself. Don't try to be wealthy yourself. Help your employees to be successful, and it aggregates to you. By the way, that's the Blessing Game's first rule of aggregation, in case you didn't know that. Steve Chandler, congratulations on the new book, 10 Commitments to Your Success.
Well, thank you, Jim.
And I appreciate you being here. We'll have you back again real soon. Maybe even one day we'll have our 7th anniversary. How about that?
That would be fantastic.
Thanks, Steve.
As long as you don't talk about it.
Okay. Steve Chandler, ladies and gentlemen, one of our curmudgeons in the Brain Trust. He'll be back. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Lassingame, the Small Business Advocate. This program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.